Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. It is hotter than a firecracker here in the WT80 studio, so I've had to ice my Harvest Ridge Coffee this morning. But it also may be hot because I've got two good-looking men here with me. Richard Elson, Peter, I'm including you in that group. Aren't you glad?
I don't know how. You're stretching the truth here a little bit.
So. I don't think so. Matt Anderson is also here. We're going to learn all about Matt in just a moment. But first, Richard, Home Depot, very much in the news this morning. We announced that they have won the together with Tri-States Veterans Community Award. Just briefly, why Home Depot?
Since I retired, I started four 501c3s. And so many times when with these 501s, you're going out to businesses, corporations, and asking for donations, asking for help, asking for sponsorships, asking for this and that. And they get inundated with all these requests. So I wanted to kind of flip that script a little bit. So when we talked that over with the Together Tri-State Veteran Support, how do we help and honor the community, the businesses in the community that have been doing so much for the veterans within the community? So we wanted to start the Veterans Choice Award. So we take those nominations, we look at those, the committee looks and chooses one, and Home Depot was selected because every time I have gone out with all of these organizations I work with, every time I've walked into Home Depot and they saw me coming, they're like, oh, what does he need now? Yeah, we were able to actually go in there and say, we want to thank you for your support and all the things you do for the veterans, for hiring veterans, for working with veterans, for, helping support veterans and, you know, all the great things that they do. So our first one we gave was to Blessing Hospital last month. We do Home Depot this month, and then we will do another one in January.
Okay, so. Well, we're looking forward to having those announcements. And, we'll always keep everybody updated every month when Richard stops by. And then you can decide. You can spend some of your dollars at places that support our military. Well, let's get to Matt Anderson here. Not his first time on the Mary Griffith Show, but the first time that I found out he's an intelligence officer with the United States Department of Defense. Were you in the uniformed military or were you a civilian employee?
I was in the Army, Mary.
Okay.
And
thank you for your service.
Spent 6 years active duty and then 1 year National Guard.
Okay.
Drilling when I lived back here in Quincy, my first year drilling out of Bloomington. So a little bit of monthly travel time.
What is a human intelligence collector?
It's a...
Or do you have to kill me if you tell me?
Haven't had to kill anybody yet. So, but basically, we would just go out into the different communities overseas that we were operating in.
I was going to say, not Marblehead
not
and Fish
Hook. No. We would just go out and meet different people in the community, whether those were like key leaders or your neighbor Mike, and, you know, talk to them, see if there was anything that they were interested in sharing with us that might benefit our mission over there in that area. So,
friend or foe, you're kind of trying to figure out the friend or foe.
Also,
because some people say they're friends and they may be foes.
Exactly, and then we also conduct the interrogations and stuff like that.
So, where did you serve?
I spent 3 years out in Fort Lewis, Washington, and deployed 1 year to Iraq from there, and then went over to Germany for 3 more years. So.
Well, those Germans are tough. Did you have to do some?
I had a
like
lot of
hot
fun.
Lights there?
I had a lot of fun over there. Say. So.
You know, we're talking a lot about this because we're having a transition. I'm not asking you a political question. Don't
sure,
get frightened.
No, I...
We're having a transition, that's and fine. People are like, there's a national intelligence director. You know, some people, I include myself many times in this group. Well, I didn't even know we had such a thing. intelligence is critical. When you're going to send troops in, by the time you make the decision to send troops in, you've already gathered a lot of information. And we just had this morning, I don't know if you heard, but on our highlight in history, when the U.S. troops were deployed to Somalia, they went ashore in the middle of the night for a big sneak, you know, deployment, and the media was already there on the beach with their cameras and everything. So sometimes it's hard to keep things quiet.
Exactly.
You know, but like, for example, what just happened in Syria this last weekend. I mean, obviously, U.S. intelligence probably had a pretty good idea something was up. These are the kind of things you don't ever want to be caught off guard. Is that the whole purpose of intelligence?
Most definitely. It's not so much of the Jason Bourne stuff that we see on TV and coming out of Hollywood.
I was going to say, you have on long sleeve. I can't see where your chip is implanted.
And then it's more of just, I mean, most of the day in and out is just... you know, what is just happening throughout that area. So everything from agricultural to, you know, infrastructural to, you know, military capabilities, things like that. So, you know, it's even, you know, what are certain sentiments towards X, Y, and Z situations, you know, just generally speaking. So it was a fun job. I got to learn a lot about a lot of different cultures as far, you know, right there on that kind of ground interpersonal mm-hmm. level. So, you know, it's, you hear and you see a lot in the media about what views are and sentiments are. And then once you actually get on the ground, you usually find out it's somewhere in between what's
right.
generally being discussed.
I mean, it would be ridiculous to think that, you know, everybody in the United States held the same view.
Exactly.
So obviously everybody in Iraq doesn't hold the same view. And so that's why intelligence is so important, because somebody who you think is your, what is it, the enemy of my friend. Yeah. So somebody who may not have a favorable opinion of the United States may have an even less favorable opinion of somebody else,
most
and they're willing
definitely.
To tell you about that bad guy.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Crime Stoppers.
It's really no different than, you know, high school. So there's drama, you know, and I don't want to necessarily call it drama, but, you know, there's definitely emotional attachment to different situations mm-hmm. for different groups and different people at different times. So
if you're a mean girl, you should consider a career in this, is what you're saying. That would be right up your alley. Well, we thank you very much for your service. But today, now what do you do now? I mean, we'll give you a free plug to your business. Why not?
I appreciate
came
it.
In and spent time on the Mary Griffith Show.
I own SunMed. It's a hemp retailer. We do a lot of wellness work with a lot of different people and conditions when they're looking at different natural wellness options for themselves or their pets. We sell a lot of pet products.
Okay.
Work with a lot of veterinarians in this area as well, kind of on the information side. So a lot of what I do is and we've intentionally kind of set our marketing budget so a lot of about 95% of it goes towards consumer education. So, you know, it's an industry that's only really been around for about 5 years now, 5-6 years federally. So a lot of that information as far as what people considered cannabis and, you know, what they kind of have thought over the last 50 years or so, not to lump everybody together, but general sentiments, I'll say, trying to kind of dispel rumors, you know, look at where the science has brought us over the last 5 years and making sure that hopefully ends up getting kind of brought into the local mainstream fold. So
are you a licensed dispensary for marijuana or you just do hemp?
We strictly stick with hemp products.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, there's different parts of the industry. Our products, a lot of them, we do have some that are similar in nature, but I'd say probably about 90% of our products aren't usually found at a dispensary. So, mm-hmm. but you know, a lot of the older population, a lot of people that are working in zero tolerance workplaces, that, you know, CBD doesn't make you high. CBG, there's a lot of these
right.
things we could talk about.
I mean,
about
we had
and spend
a,
an hour
have
and
a bottle
on,
of
two
hemp,
hours on, so.
Hand lotion, you know. Yeah,
yeah. So you know, those they don't cause that intoxication, and people are still looking to get those benefits and work within their employer's policies. So we work with a lot of those sort of people
well,
as well.
We'll have to have
so.
You back, and we can talk for a longer
That'd be
period
great.
Of time
yeah, no,
about
most
that.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. So Matt Anderson, you and Richard Elson Peter are here today to talk about adrenaline racing team.
Yes, we are.
I love how Richard, one of his goals is to never say no to a veteran and to build connections with veterans and the hobbies and things that they're interested in. And so, Richard, I'll let you kind of intro this. You're going to have a race car, Quincy Raceways, in the 2026 year.
We are, yes, that is our goal. And with all the different organizations I work with, a lot of the newsletters and things that I get, one of those came in, and I was reading about a veterans motorsports. And they were talking about when a veteran is deployed or when a soldier is deployed, when they're activated, they go overseas, they live on adrenaline, they live on caffeine, and they live on the camaraderie of their fellow soldiers. When they come home, they lose all of that. They lose that support structure. They lose that, you know, feeling of belonging and that sense of mission. So what they thought would be cool is to put veterans in race cars to help build that camaraderie and that sense of winning and that sense of belonging. So you can go out and get in a race car. You can race. You can do all of this.
You
and
can
that
work
sense
under the
of,
hood.
You can work under the hood. So you can have that sense of, you know, smelling diesel fuel in the morning, you know, as I used to do, walk through the motor pool, you know, smelling diesel fuel and drinking my coffee, carrying my clipboard. And I'm like, this sounds very cool. How can we bring that to Quincy? How can we go ahead and bring that, you know, same program here to Quincy? So I went out to Quincy Raceways, talked to the managers out there. They love the idea. So what we want to do first is to kind of build that camaraderie or that relationship between the veterans and the race community, and then the community or the race community with our veterans. So we wanted to build a program to help bring more veterans into the racetracks to go ahead and enjoy that sense of thrill, that excitement and the noise and, you know, all this that they were so used to. But then it expanded, like, how cool would it be to
not
actually
just a
put
spectator,
a
spectator, but
to act. Yes, absolutely. So instead of just watching race cars, how, what happens if we put a veteran in, build a race car? And, you know, so this way they can actually have a car to root for, they can vote for, you know. So we reached out to the American Legions, the VFWs, the Marine Corps leagues, and things like this. We reached, looking for sponsorships for veterans-owned businesses and things like that. So we have a lot of, you know, great support. But I just know that this will grow. Because we get one car on the track that people can root for. I know the camaraderie or that competitiveness that veterans have between the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines and all that. Mm-hmm. So if we can get, if we have one car this year, I know that the Marines will want to have their own car next year and the Army will want to have their car. So we can go ahead and have that bragging rights of like, oh, we kicked your butt this week, you know, type of thing. So that's where building this and then reaching out to Matt, because I know that he was very competitive and he likes this kind of stuff. I've reached out to him and I wanted to have, you know, Matt jumped on board and says, I want to be the program manager for this. I want to go ahead and run this. I want to be the point man. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Wow. So Matt Anderson, you stepped up as an Army veteran, former intelligence collection officer, and as an owner of a business here in Quincy that promotes people's good health. You stepped up and said, hey, you know, let's do this. So talk a little bit about what the program manager is going to do. I mean, where are you in the string of things and how, what will happen as we move closer to the 2026 racing season?
So working closely with Rich, when we first, you know, him and I were meeting probably about once a month for the last 6-7 months or so, and just kind of starting to bring all the pieces together. He already had a really good start as far as actually building some of the sponsorship relationships with some of our local community members and other veterans that owned businesses to get some of those car sponsors. You know, when you watch NASCAR, if you go to the races here, you'll see a lot of the cars do have local sponsors that support what they're doing in that arena. So, you know, he already had a really good jump to that, so I hopped on board starting with that process. Him and I have been working closely together as far as getting some initial information meetings set up and out throughout the community. So, you know, a lot of what I'm going to be doing is taking a look at, once we start, I've always been really big into the actual, like, foundational team building process. So, you know, taking a look at what roles we need to fulfill. I've raced a little bit myself.
Uh-huh.
I used to race up in Donelson, Iowa, much smaller in stature, probably about almost 100 pounds lighter at this point. So, but I was racing dirt track go-karts up there.
But you're
so
not fat, so that's just muscle.
It's not all muscle, but I haven't been able to stay accident prone for the last
Oh, okay.
pretty much year and a half. So,
okay.
you know, it's
so
transitioning
you couldn't get
a little
what
bit.
What was your waist size when you were in the Army? Do you remember what your uniform was?
Between 32, 34. Yeah. Now I'm about 38. So not whole lot bigger, but
You are muscular. You are muscularly built. And most race car drivers are, they're wiry because they got to get in and out of the car.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So I want to explore this. So we talked about getting the Crown Vic. Do we have the car yet?
No.
Okay, we don't have the car yet. We don't have the driver yet. We don't have the team yet. So I think we better take a break and figure out how we're going to do all this.
Yeah, I think that's what we should probably talk about next. Like I said, Rich and I have been working just to kind of get some of those grassroots level information meetings out there.
And find the other gearhead like you. Okay.
Exactly. So
attention, if you know anybody who's a gearhead and is a military veteran, tell them to tune to AM 930 or 103.3 because we're going to be talking about this. We need to get them on this segment.
We'll take
a break. We'll be right back. My guest today, Matt Anderson and Richard Elson-Peter from Together with Tri-State Veteran Support, talking about adrenaline racing, race cars for military veterans. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from the URSA Farmers Cooperative. This report is brought to you by Rex Battery. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today is always Richard Elson-Peter, and with him is Matt Anderson, and he is the project manager for Adrenaline Racing, which is a veterans-operated racing car for Quincy Raceways this coming summer, the 2025 season. We need to get people on the racing team, so we got to have people who can drive the car, fix the car, change the tires on the car, be the pit crew, be the gas man. I don't know. You need everything. You're pretty much familiar with this, Matt Anderson. I am not. I watch NASCAR. I know you can turn left. That's about what I know. But let's talk about this. How are you recruiting these people? This is one way. If you listen to this and you're a veteran and you kind of like being around the world of stock car racing, come on board, right?
Most definitely. We do have an Adrenaline Racing Facebook page. So if you just type Adrenaline Racing in the search bar there on Facebook, you can reach us and contact us. I'm the one that answers that page. Rich also has access to it. So, you can talk to us directly through there. I do want to make sure that we mention that while we are trying to fill these different roles that you mentioned, this is open to all veterans. So there is no experience required.
Right.
We're confident that we're going to have those gearheads that step forward because I'm not one myself. So it isn't just going to be Rich and I working on a car, several hours a week. We do, everything from people that just want to get out and help spread the word even.
Sure.
That
got to have a cheering section.
You've got to. We're confident that at the raceways, once we get this car spun up and people can kind of start learning about it, hopefully we can take it out into the community and have it set up at different events,
yeah,
things like that. So our community outreach portion hopefully is going to be pretty complex as we move, especially here through the spring and summer of 2025.
Well, I'm sure it'll be in the Dogwood
ready
Festival
to start
parade
running, so.
And whatever other parades there are. And because Adrenaline Racing, is that a nationwide group or is that just something you started here?
Something we started.
Okay, so it's not like there's other Adrenaline Racing clubs across the United States. Maybe we'll be the inaugural one and this will catch on. But you could also do other venues besides Quincy Raceways, I get, if you get really good at this. I mean,
absolutely. That's one of the things that I loved about the concept is if you're looking at $1,000 sponsorship, if you want to get your name on, the car and all that, and it's $1,000 sponsorship, you think, oh, $1,000, that's a lot of money. He says, and you're right. If you're sponsoring a one-day event for $1,000, that's a lot of money. But there are 20 races per year out of the Quincy Raceway. Mm-hmm. So when you take that 20 races, divide that $1,000 between the 20 races, it's far, far cheaper.
And they're going to be going to places and the car is going to be on display.
Absolutely. And if you go ahead and go to Donaldson or you go to Jacksonville or you go to one of the other racetracks and race there also, then that doubles that. So all of a sudden, you're talking about, $20 per race to get your name on a race car or to be a part of the team. So, yes, we will need drivers. We will need mechanics. We will need people that, changing the tires. We will need supporters. We will need, we'll need a car. We're going to need a trailer. We're going to need tools. We're going to need, safety equipment. So there's
a
lot
on the car.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of opportunities for anybody and any skill level at any age that would like to help. So
this is, you know, we've talked about this before. This is not something new. You brought this up, I think, 6 months ago in the height of stock car season, that next year, you know, 2025, you were going to have a car. And so Matt Anderson is now tasked with making sure this happens. What's the time frame? When's the first race?
I know that...
Is it like
Quincy,
in May or...?
Yes, it's about May time frame.
Okay.
I know that they just got the race schedules out. I haven't had a chance to look at those yet, but I'll be getting a hold of the DeLongeys at Quincy Raceways, working with them, because they're very, very supportive. You know, they've looked at this.
Good.
We've talked to them about it. They're very supportive, and they said that they would help us in any way possible, you know, that they can possibly help to get us on board. And I met with them once a couple of months ago when they took over, and they had their team meetings out there, and I went out there. They had me speak about adrenaline racing, and we had several of the drivers or, you know, motorheads that are part of that say, we want to help you. We want to help sponsor this. We want to help do this. So come see us. When you have a car, you come see us, and we'll, you know, help with this. We'll help with that. So
that's great, because, again, everybody wants to win, but because this is your first year and this is a special car, you're going to have people that are willing to kind of share their expertise with you. Now, 3 years from now, that may not be the case. You may be so dominant that they're not going to do that, Matt. So talk about what you need. Obviously, you need a cheering section. Not anybody can do that. You need to get some people trained to do certain things. Is this, you have to change the tires in the middle of the race, right?
Not in dirt racing.
The car,
it's a really small track. Or a smaller track, I should say.
So you don't have to add gas or do any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you enter the track, you know, it's a rolling start. So you enter the track with the equipment you got. And as soon as you...
As long as the green flag
means go and checkered flag means stop. So.
And yellow means we have a big pile up somewhere, right? And then you have to be able to repair it quickly, because knowing my luck, my panel that I sponsored to be a sponsor would be destroyed, you know, in the first lap. And you're going to have to get that back on and get it repaired. So I've been out there, but, you know, again, I wouldn't have any idea what the rules are. So this is something where the thing that will make you win is speed, and the driver being able to maneuver and take advantage of situations where somebody else makes a miscue or does something wrong. Are there a lot of crashes out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of yellow flags.
I hate to say it, but as long as nobody gets hurt, isn't that what most people go for? The noises, the crashes,
the excitement, the adrenaline.
Yeah,
that you go
that's
and
what
enjoy.
It's all
so,
about.
Historically with this one, do you have to change tires in dirt track? Only if it is damaged.
Right.
You know, if somebody bumps you and you get a flat tire, that needs to be changed. And you have X amount of time, X number of laps that they'll put it under yellow to give you that time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, because I can take care of the basic necessities, changing tires, checking fluids, stuff like that. But, you know, definitely going to be an experience. Maybe I'll get maybe I'll get the experience to learn how to change a fuel pump, or, you know, there's different life skills that are, you know, built into this as well. So,
because after every race, the car has to be gone over, because that type of racing is hard on a car and a car engine. So everything has to kind of be recalibrated and brought back to snuff before the
nuts and bolts have to be retightened.
Yeah,
so.
Anything rubbing anywhere. You
and
know,
obviously,
you'll
want to be driving some of it, I'm sure, won't you? I mean,
I'm interested in driving for sure. I've had a couple injuries. I stuck my hand in a hedge trimmer a couple months ago, so I've still got one more surgery coming up here at the beginning of the year to put some of my nerves back together. So,
is that why your hand is kind of in a cup position?
Yeah, because it was.
Oh
it
my!
Was, yeah, I've got occupational therapy 3 days a week right now. So,
Matt, I'm glad to see you're improving, but. It's,
don't stick your hand in the head.
Yeah.
Public service announcement. There
here's
go,
an intelligence officer.
You know what we say? We say military intelligence is the biggest oxymoron in the world. So.
Perhaps while you were interrogating all those Iraqis about their positions on American, you just said, Do you think it's a good idea in Germany to put hand in hedge and lawn clipper? And they said, yes, good idea. And you took it. And see, they were not on our side. You did not detect that. Well, I do wish you a speedy recovery because there again,
that.
You know, I'm sure you're using some hemp products to help you
I
with the pain.
I definitely have
yes,
been.
Absolutely.
A lot of the pain and inflammation. I did also want to note, though, that, you know, as Rich was kind of discussing some of the rain or the car sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
We do have sponsorships still a few still available, even down as low as like the $250 range. So,
okay.
You know, you're not just looking at even if you're one of those smaller businesses that still wants one of those smaller $250 sponsors, that still gets split out over kind of how Rich talked
sure.
over those 20 races,
mm-hmm.
all the
it's
engagement
very
opportunities.
Very economical for as many people are putting their eyes on that. You know, here in the radio advertisers, we say, how many ears are listening? And then you've got to drive them to action. Well, with you, it's like a very specialized event, but the people that are there are tuned into that event and paying attention, and you're going to take the car and take it out and put it in different venues so that people can ooh and ah and look at it.
But then we're also interested in different in-kind sponsors as well. So, you know, we're going to need fuel. We're going to need tires. Some of those things that your business might already have that you're looking to get rid of, check with us before you throw it out. So if it's something automobile related, kind of in that...
anything. And you mentioned right now you really don't have a place to work on the car. So if you just got a project out of your garage and you're looking for your next project and maybe you're like, well, I don't know if I want to be in charge of the project, but I wouldn't mind having a beer with the guys and gals if they want to come over on a few nights a week and work on this car, because again, it's going to take some time to get this thing all together.
Yeah. Well,
and thanks for bringing up the gals as well, because actually with the meetings that we've had, we actually have more female interest right now than male interest. So late female veterans, we're here for you too.
Well,
so.
And I mean, again, the thing about it is, we have to get over the stereotype, and I think that stereotype exists only around people, you know, my age or a little bit younger and older than me, that, you know, women didn't do these roles. I mean, women today, in today's U.S. Army, we're talking about women in combat positions. There's no such thing as not a combat position unless you're sitting behind a desk at the Pentagon, because they're driving the truck, and when the truck breaks down, guess what? They have to get under the hood and fix it.
That's right.
They're flying the helicopter. They're doing this. They're doing that. So they have those skills already. So if they've, you know, had that opportunity in the military, nobody said you can't do that because you're a girl. Now they may want to go out and see if they can be a stock car driver.
Well, so in stock car racing at Quincy Raceways, there are multiple girls that are drivers out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple girls that, kick butt. You know, they are, you know, they're on the top of the heap on, you know, some of those races. They are right there in the leadership, you know, position. So,
well, because again, when you're in a car, not that the driver isn't important, the skill of the driver and but a woman and a man are they're at an equal advantage. I mean, if you have the smarts to outmaneuver your opponent, that's where the car can't help you. That's where the human element comes in. But as far as, you know, you put a guy in that car and go around the track and see how fast they can go, you put a girl in the car, same car, I mean, that's an equal playing field. So this should be something, like you said, that, you know, maybe spouses can do together. You just want everybody to come out and be involved. There's no age limit. There's no whatever. Right now you're taking all comers.
And just come and hang out if you want
to.
You know, just be a part of it. You don't have to get your hands dirty if you don't want to. just come and hang out with us for six weeks, and maybe then you'll be interested.
And you'll know that you don't have to change tires during the middle of a thing like I didn't know.
And the whole idea of adrenaline racing and the whole concept is to build the camaraderie and the teamwork. So to come, we want to win. We want a competitive car. We want a competitive team. But at the same time, the main mission is the camaraderie and working together. So to say, just building that teamwork and that, you know, that you had in the military, that you had, that camaraderie you had with your fellow team, is this what our main goal is. Winning is going to be secondary, to the mission. So.
But you could be like Oregon and win the Big Ten title the first year you join the Big Ten.
Yes.
Yes. And so we're hoping, we're wishing. You'll have a lot of sentimental pull.
Speaking of that, you know what this week is? This is the Army-Navy game.
Mm.
So just want to put it out there. Okay. Go Army, be Navy.
And where's that game being played?
They're playing out at the Washington Commanders Stadium in Baltimore this year.
In Baltimore.
So.
Is that in Baltimore?
It's in Maryland. I don't know if it's Baltimore, but it's in Maryland.
It's all compact. But it's in the Maryland side of D.C., yeah. That whole area out there is one giant, what they call it, Boss Wash, from Boston all the way down to Washington. It's just one gigantic thing. Okay, so go Army. I have to say go Navy because my dad was a Navy man.
Well, to each their own, I guess.
I was going
to
say, my dad, I can't ever see my dad driving a car fast. We couldn't get him to go 50. So I don't think he'd be a very good stock car race driver, but he was very, very, very cautious.
Yeah. There are cars out there that don't go much more than 50. I've seen some of those drivers that, you know, their skill level and their car level, that's what they're comfortable with. So,
well, you know, I was thinking, I just traded in, you know, like a year ago, I just traded in my old clunker. I should have kept it. If you wanted to be in the demolition derby, I would have been happy to have sponsored adrenaline racing demolition derby car. I should have done that. We'll take a final break when we come back. Our remaining moments, we're talking about veterans, which we do every month here on Star Radio WTAD. Richard Elson Peter is always great to come along. He always brings a great guest with him. Today, that guest is Matt Anderson, and he is in charge of the adrenaline racing team. They're going to have a car at Quincy Raceways in 2025. You can be in on the ground floor. You can be a sponsor. You can work on the car. You can drive the car. You can wash the car. You can do whatever needs to be done. They're going to have a racing team this coming year, and they want you to be part of it. We'll tell you how to join in just a moment. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I want to thank Matt Anderson for taking time out of his day today. He's a veteran of the U.S. Army, rooting for Army against Navy this weekend, of course. I guess I'll throw my hat behind you because, you know, I mean, my connection with the Navy dates back to World War II. I guess I better update my references, right? Okay, I'm on your side, Matt Anderson. He is in charge of adrenaline racing, which is something that together with Tri-State Veteran Support is putting together. They will have a car in the 2025 season at Quincy Raceways, and they may take the car other places. It depends on how good they are. We don't know how good they're going to be, but we know one thing, it's going to be fun and there's going to be a lot of camaraderie. So let's talk about that aspect of it, Matt. You do have a Facebook page. You want people to be excited, get involved. How can they get involved? And then talk about the camaraderie and what you're looking for.
So real quickly, just kind of recap what we've already discussed. Got a lot of roles that need to be filled. So anything car related, from, you know, changing tires, checking the engine, you know, in between races, we're going to be filling those roles. Now, the way we're going to go about that is through, you know, other volunteer veterans that want to be involved with the project. No experience required. It's going to, you know, just be something. We don't know how much we're going to meet up yet, when we're going to work on that. That's going to be based off of the schedules of the people that are involved. We're going to try and get as many people together as we can, as much as we can throughout the season. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a numerous amount of ways that you can get involved. Easiest way to get a hold of us is to go onto our Facebook page at Adrenaline Racing and just shoot us a message through there. Rich or I will get a hold of you, discuss the program with you, see where you might want to kind of fall in initially, and that'll kind of help us script, you know, we won't cap it, but how many people we need in specific areas, depending on, you know, how much overall interest that we get
right
in the program.
Right, and there's lots of opportunities. I want to ask you, and close out on this, a more personal question about you, Matt Anderson. Richard often talks about how after your deployment's done, after your service is done, you're retired, you look back on a career. Did you have trouble reintegrating into civilian society? Was that a struggle for you? Or?
It was. It mostly just because there were 70 to 90 people I saw routinely every single day. When you work with those people and then, you know, as you're lower enlisted, a lot of times live next door to those people in the barracks, you know, they become some of your best friends. You know, there were several members that were in my wedding party, the first time I was married. You know, it's just, they become very close to you. They become some of the closest people in your lives.
And then they're gone.
You know, you get used to it because you move duty stations every couple of years, but then, there's definitely a change and a shift in transitioning to civilian society, versus doing it day in and day out in the military. So, you know, it was definitely one of those things. It took me a couple of years. And then, you know, as you're transitioning, the normal life occurrences that happen with deaths of family members, illnesses, those don't stop. So,
right.
The stuff that you've got normally,
starting
then you're
a business.
Kind of transitioning, mm-hmm. you know, all that at the same time. And I don't want to say that civilians don't get it. Because that wouldn't be the right way to say it, but it's hard to understand exactly what's going through your mind when you're trying to make all these changes unless you've lived it. And even though all of our experiences individually are different within the military, there's still a constant bond that you can build through that, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Okay, adrenaline racing. If this is something that interests you and you are a military veteran, please go to Adrenaline Racing's Facebook page, get a hold of Matt Anderson, and they will put you to work on the car. Thank you very much for being with us today, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mary.